Good morning and welcome to Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the San Diego Lincoln Financial Media Stations. I'm Tommy Howe. Bruce Kunz has been protecting some of San Diego's most special places for decades. And if you're familiar with the Marston House near Balboa Park, or the Whaley House or Adobe Chapel Museum in Old Town, you've probably come across the Save Our Heritage organization, which Bruce Kunz is the executive director of. Founded in 1969, the Save Our Heritage organization makes it their mission to preserve, promote, and support preservation of the architectural, cultural, and historical links and landmarks which contribute to San Diego's identity, depth, and character. Now, Bruce has been on the show before to talk about the State Normal School Training Building on Park Boulevard in University Heights, and he's also been a guest on this show's sister program, Tree Huggers International, on KBZT to talk about Rancho Juajito in North San Diego County. But it's proposed developments to Balboa Park, which is bringing Bruce and the Save Our Heritage organization back to the show today, as well as the organization's recent acquisition and plans for the Santa Isabel General Store between Ramona and Julian and the Warner Carrillo Ranch House near Lake Henshaw. Always interesting places and locales. Always great having you on the show, Bruce Kunz. Welcome back to Living Better in San Diego. It is very good to have you here.
Well, thank you, Tommy. Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about what the city is proposing in Balboa Park, because it sounds like they want to add what's an off-ramp to the Cabrillo Bridge.
Basically, it looks like a freeway off-ramp and huge road system and paid parking garage right in the middle of Balboa Park, including a ditch that bisects the middle of the park, all to yield 160 new parking spaces for the tune of $40 million and turn Balboa Park into a paid parking lot.
Now, what would be the reason for doing this? And the mayor is really behind this proposal, correct?
The mayor is, and Dr. Irwin Jacobs.
What is their reasoning for this giant plan?
Well, it came from a good idea, one that we support, which is remove the parking from the Plaza de Panama have it more of a pedestrian use. But what it's turned into is a major debacle. This is a huge roadway system. It's kind of a 1960s approach to solving the cars. They're actually going to bring more cars into the center of the park instead of less, and lay lots of concrete, tear out hundreds of trees, move hundreds of thousands of cubic yards of dirt to the landfill. It's amazing it's gotten this far out of hand.
And part of this project also includes the construction of a significant parking garage behind the Organ Pavilion.
Right. It's a three-story parking garage, partially underground, which is going to be paid parking to pay for part of the project.
How radical a change would this be to the traditions of Balboa Park?
For lovers of the park, it will render the areas where this project is, which is throughout the Central Mesa, unrecognizable to current visitors. It will look more like a business park in North County instead of the park we all love.
Well, let's break down the project again into pieces. And let's start off with this ramp, which would exit from the Cabrillo Bridge. And the Cabrillo Bridge, now that's that giant, graceful arch bridge over the 163.
Yeah, probably our most iconic view is that view of that bridge and the California Tower. Well, this thing is going to be right in the middle of it, and it's going to wrap around the Museum of Man up at eye level. I call it, a veil over the eyes of a beautiful woman. But it's going to wrap around where the windows are for the chapel of the Museum of Man and go into the Alcazar parking lot. And the Alcazar Garden is probably one of the most beautiful areas in the park, but now it's going to have this two-lane roadway, valet drop-off, freight drop-off, passenger drop-off, and everything circling around the parking lot, all of this crossing the two lanes of traffic that they're putting through there. Then it goes into the edge of Palm Canyon and wipes out a lot of the palms there, takes the bridge out, which they're going to do a longer bridge, then cuts the Central Mesa and a half to get to the parking garage, where you're going to only be able to cross over on a small bridge.
Now, talk to me a little bit about what the Central Mesa of Balboa Park is.
The Central Mesa is the area between the Palisades, which is where the Air and Space Museum is, and the Organ Pavilion and the Plaza de Panama. It's the area where the Houses of Pacific Relations would be on the south side of this big ditch, and the Organ Pavilion would be on the north side. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of older structures there that were built 1910, 1915.
Well, there are, and then it's going to avoid most of the standing ones, but it will preclude reconstruction of the other ones that the Committee of 100 wants to reconstruct. There's 29 groups opposing this now, including the Citizens Coordinate for Century 3, SOHO, the Committee of 100, the League of Women Voters. Five planning groups have voted against it already, but they're still charging forward.
I ask about the buildings because, not that they're going to be moved or anything or have the road go through them, but they're just older buildings and they may not really be intended to have this level of construction going on around them.
No, in fact, it's going to cut a huge, huge trench right behind the Oregon Pavilion. And the Oregon Pavilion is very sensitive, but the Oregon itself is even more sensitive. I talked to somebody in the Spreckles Oregon Society today, and they're very concerned about the tuning of that instrument with all this equipment being moved around.
Yeah, and all the digging going on, and then that construction, which would be protracted. That wouldn't
just
happen
overnight. It's going to be 2 years of construction.
Now, you mentioned that parking could be done away with at Plaza de Panama, and that was where this idea had come from, was that you would simply get rid of the negligible amount of spaces there.
Now, there's 54 spaces there currently. It'd be easy to replace those spaces in the current parking lots that already exist by moving some dumpsters, moving some sheds, and just reconfiguring the parking lots. And then you could go through the plaza and make a right turn. And when we wanted it closed for events or special occasions, or we could institute managed traffic, we'd even have it closed a few hours of day and get all the benefits of this project without the negatives.
How unusual would that be in Balboa Park to sort of regulate traffic like that? Has that ever been done before?
It hasn't in Balboa Park, but in Golden Gate Park and Central Park, they do it all the time. It's a standard procedure, and it's been working so well, they've been expanding it in Golden Gate Park.
So of all of the folks who are taking a stand of opposition to this proposed plan, what is the most consistent concern you hear?
And the bypass bridge is the one that gets the most visibility, but the entire infrastructure project, the concrete and the soldier rows of palm trees, the regrading of the Alcazar parking lot, and the regrading of the Plaza de Panama itself, they're going to completely change that, put modern paving materials in there and ponds, and make these ponds work. They're going to have to raise the level of the Plaza de Panama itself on the western side.
That's going to really interfere with what the park planners had originally intended.
It will actually prevent what the park planners originally intended forever happening and prevent a complete restoration of the park, which has been most people's goals for a long time.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of Balboa Park, how it was conceived, and who are some of the important players in the development of it.
Well, originally, you know, of course, it was set aside as a city park in the 1860s, but what really kicked it off was the Plaza de Panama celebration in 1915. And the architect Goodhue wanted this special spot to create this hilltop Spanish city. In fact, where they want to put the bypass bridge is the very area that creates that whole feeling of this hilltop fortified city.
Like ramparts.
Right. Yeah. It's like putting a freeway road ramp around the outside of a castle. Not just like that, that's really what they're doing.
And you sort of can't quite see that corner of those ramparts, if you will, today, because there's a lot of trees growing there.
There's some trees, but they're going to end up taking out most of the trees with this project. And the way to get the historic view back was just to trim them a little bit, but they're taking out hundreds of trees. Originally, there was around the turn of the century, there was a plan that Olmsted put together for Balboa Park, which didn't include an exposition. But at that time, Goodhue really wanted a special site for this, approaching it by the bridge up to this fortified Spanish city, and so he fought with the city planners and finally won the day to put it up there. But and so Olmsted's vision was forever changed at that time.
Isn't it true that when the city built Balboa Park originally for the exposition, the intent was not to make that permanent? They were going to tear down a lot of those buildings?
Most of the buildings were going to be torn down. In fact, most of them have been now and a few replaced, except for this California quadrangle and the bridge. They were always meant to be permanent because they thought that that was the signature piece of the park, and that's why it was dedicated as a National Historic Landmark, the very highest honor we can put on anything, is because of that view and that approach, and that's the first thing it calls out in the designation.
You know, the Cabrillo Bridge, that went through a significant renovation, if I'm not mistaken, just a couple of years ago, right?
It went through an earthquake retrofit in the middle section. In fact, they're going to start the two ends in the beginning of 2013.
How would building a ramp or something to that effect, what kind of effect would that have structurally?
Well, we got a letter from a Caltrans engineer that said that they cannot make that right turn off the bridge with the way the bridge is currently constructed, that they will have to take it apart and reinforce it.
Along with the mayor, there are some other folks within the city who are also interested in seeing this project occur.
Yeah, there aren't as many as the mayor would like to say, because you know, many of the people are against the project. But only people I can see to benefit are the parking concessionaires, certainly not the public. This has been a free park since it was open. It's one of the few places that people can take their families on a regular basis and not have to pay an arm and a leg, and that'll all change with this project. The parking garage will not be free. Right now they're saying it's only the parking garage, but the financing of the project hinges on that parking garage. And so, like the zoo said, if they're only charging for the parking garage, everybody's going to use the other spaces and not the parking garage. So
you're going to make it worse.
Yeah, they're going to have to charge everywhere to make the pay for this project.
What's the possibility that a new mayor may just get rid of the whole idea?
Well, there's a pretty good possibility if it's the right candidate wins, this thing will be over.
Is it possible that this may be seen to conclusion before the election day?
Well, they're planning on taking it to the city council for final approval in July before the elections, and they're rushing this forward, I think, to avoid the elections.
And once the concrete is poured, it's like toothpaste out of the tube. It's not going back in.
Yeah, we'll never be able to reverse it. We'll have to live with this. And we'll all hate the thing till the day we die.
Well, have there been some park advocates from around the nation who are fans of Balboa Park who have also contacted Save Our Heritage organization about this?
I haven't heard much from out of town, except the state historic preservation officer said that the park will lose its national historic designation if this project goes forward, because the special qualities that make up Balboa Park will no longer exist.
And how many parking spaces are going to be added with this project?
260 total new spaces, but 100 of those are dedicated to valet, so 160 net new spaces.
And you have the luxury of paying for them.
And you have the luxury of paying for them forever.
If you're just joining us, this is Living Better in San Diego on the San Diego Lincoln Financial Media Stations. I'm Tommy Howe, and joining us today is Bruce Koons, the Executive Director of the Save Our Heritage Organization here in San Diego. For more information about the Save Our Heritage Organization, or SOHO, and to learn more about the city's proposed changes and development at Balboa Park, as well as SOHO's current museums and list of most endangered San Diego sites, and much more, go to www.sohosandiego.org. That's SOHO, S-O-H-O, SOHOSanDiego.org. You can also call the Save Our Heritage Organization at 619-297-9327. That's 619-297-9327. And Bruce, let's talk about another property which SOHO is very involved with along the edge of Balboa Park, and that's the Marston House in Hillcrest.
Well, it was built in 1905 by George Marston. He was a department store owner, major department store in San Diego, which eventually became May Company. It is a fantastic arts and crafts house designed by some of our best architects, Hebert and Gill, and a spectacular spot, 5 acres on the edge of the park. He was also San Diego's first preservationist. He was the first one to go in and preserve Presidio Park and built the Serra Museum and gave that to the city. He helped create Torrey Pines State Park. He restored buildings in Old Town, and he created Anza Borrego State Park, quite a philanthropist and a visionary, and knew that it was really important to protect the things that make San Diego special.
It's a great property, and there's tours available of the Marston House if people are interested.
There are. We're open Friday through Mondays through the winter and longer hours during the summer.
What are some of the really great features about the house that make it worth checking out?
Well, there's some great artwork, arts and crafts period artwork, including Alfred Mitchell of Anza-Borrego State Park. And there are lots of fantastic arts and crafts furniture and pottery. Just spectacular grounds, too. There's a garden tour and there's a 7th Avenue tour we do besides just the house tour.
Yeah, it's a great location, and it's located on a very historic street in San Diego as well.
7th Avenue is probably one of the prettiest streets in town and lined with some of the best architecture from that period.
And then another particularly interesting house, which I wanted to talk about, is located over in Sherman Heights, the Villa Montezuma House. And that's a pretty unique structure for San Diego. I mean, we have some good Victorians in this town, certainly up into Golden Hill and a couple in Bankers Hill, but the Villa Montezuma is really unique even among our Victorians.
It is now. I mean, we had some other structures that were like that, but certainly now it's probably our best known and our best Victorian structure and the most, to modern taste, most wild-looking structure with the gargoyles and dragons and the onion-shaped tower.
It's not being managed, I guess, might be the best word to use, correct?
Yeah, the San Diego Historical Society gave up operations of it over 6 years ago, and it's sitting there deteriorating and closed to the public. We're really trying to get the city of San Diego to get off the dime and do something with it, either restore it and open it to the public or turn it over to us so we can do it.
What would you guys be able to bring to the table with the Villa Montezuma?
Well, we're pretty good at turning around house museums. The Whaley House we took over, there was less than 10,000 visitors a year. Now we get more than 200,000 on the property and 150,000 through the house. And the Marston House is finally turning in the black, which the Historical Society wasn't able to do. We think that we're the ones that can really make that house a stellar, active part of San Diego. And I think we're the only ones. We could do a perpetual house tour with all of our properties every day.
Now, that house was built for a composer, and the gentleman was not from San Diego. The house was built for him. Was it sort of a surprise for him to receive that house?
Well, it was kind of unique at the time. The city raised $40,000 to construct it and invite Jesse Shepard, who was a composer and an author, a world-famous performer, to San Diego. It was during the great boom of the 80s where San Diego's population went from less than 5,000 to over 40,000 in a year and a half. We became a cosmopolitan city. We changed from false front buildings on Fifth Avenue to the multi-story brick and stone buildings you see down there in the Gaslamp Quarter today. It was quite a heady time, and we had to have our artists.
And that's reflected in the architecture, that heady time, too.
It is. And it's what we think is very flamboyant architecture. Then, it was Queen Anne architecture, and you were supposed to exhibit your artistic taste. It was the height of the aesthetic movement, as they called it. And so expressing your taste in all the arts was all the rage, and this house has it all.
I got to go look at it in 2003. And it was a lot of fun. It's a great house to be in.
Yeah, more stained glass than I think any other house in town. Beautiful woodwork, beautiful artwork, carving, textures, and wherever you look, you can study at that house in the interior for weeks and never see all the details.
Also, as my wife likes to point out, it's allegedly haunted.
Well, that's what they say when they say that about a lot of places. But Jesse had seances there, and there's famous stories of a singing choir of ghosts coming down the stairs as he played the piano and the organ. It's got a legend.
Looking at the house, certainly you could see where that legend might have grown, right, just from the appearance of that house. But that's over in Sherman Heights, and that's definitely worth a drive-by, if nothing else. I think it's one of those sorts of houses where if you drive by, you definitely know it.
Oh, it is. I mean, not only is it one of our best Victorians, and probably are the best, for any town, even San Francisco, it would be an outstanding building.
Let's talk about some areas further east, and this is something that I'm very interested in talking about, the Santa Isabel General Store. It's at the intersection of highways 78 and 79. How did the Save Our Heritage organization come into working with the general store?
About 3 years ago, it closed and went on the market. The Tulloch family, which is one of San Diego's early cattle ranching families, owned it and decided to finally sell it. They had owned it for over 50 years. and they've been there for 150 years in the area. It's San Diego's last large adobe false front general store, and it's always been a landmark. I've always loved the building. Mm. And we decided that, you know, it had to be saved, like a lot of things. So we purchased it, and we're going to open it as a general store and backcountry visitor center. Occupying the building with us will be the San Dieguito River Park and the San Diego River Park groups, which, you know, the San Dieguito River watershed's right in front of us, and the San Diego River shed's right behind us there. So it's a great place to direct people to the backcountry. And the Santa Isabel Preserve is around us, and the Vulcan Mountain folks are going to be working with us too, is right behind us. And we believe the Wildlife Research Institute will be working with us there too. So it's going to be a great place to get everybody together and tell them where to go in the backcountry and what to see.
There's so many great things to go see around there. And of course, the San Dieguito Trail continues to be built, and the San Diego River. Both of those organizations have been on Tree Huggers International, by the way, which is great. And Vulcan Mountain, that's another great local resource. Yeah, the Santa Isabel Open Space Preserve. Watch out for cattle if you're ever hiking around there, folks.
It's still working cattle ranch.
Yeah, definitely. I'm thrilled that you guys are going to be doing that with those organizations. And let's also talk about the Warner Carrillo Ranch House near Lake Henshaw. This is really interesting, too.
It's a fantastic building. We once called it the most important unprotected historic site in San Diego County. It's a national historic landmark. It's on the Southern Immigrant Trail to California. It was a trading post and Butterfield stage stop. It was built by a prominent California woman, Vicenta Carrillo. She ran this 40,000-acre rancho and served the Butterfield stages. It's just a fantastic place, and the area is almost completely unchanged except for the new highway. Two-lane highway that goes through there. It looks the same as it did when the first pioneers came there. They were really excited to get here because it was the first well-watered valley they came across after crossing about 1,000 miles of desert, thinking they'd made the biggest mistake in their lives. So when they finally got there, they said, wow, there is a promised land.
Yeah, and they actually got to see some green when they got to that part of the county.
Yeah, and this is still a place where you can see what they saw today. And the ranch house was almost lost. It was in ruins. And threatening to completely disappear. But Vista Irrigation District and some donors and us were finally, after 15 years, able to get the restoration done. We'll be opening this and the Santa Isabel General Store in the fall. Santa Isabel General Store would be another good place for us to send people up to Warner's. So there'll be a lot to see in the backcountry. Natural resources, historic resources, and just plain beautiful country.
Accessibility for the Warner Carrillo Ranch House, is that going to be off 78 or 79?
It's off of S2, off of 78. And it's on the road that heads down to Ranchita and Borrego Springs, or down to San Felipe, out of Warner Springs, and are from San Isabel.
And if those are some parts of San Diego County you're not familiar with, need to do yourself the favor and take a little road trip out there.
It is. I think it's one of the prettiest parts of the county, the Santa Isabel Valley in particular. But a different character in the Warner's Valley, too. It seems more like the Midwest.
Bruce, I want to thank you for making time to join us today on Living Better in San Diego. And we really covered a lot of information here. But going back to what we were talking about regarding Balboa Park, and also the Via Montezuma as well, but how can folks listening make their voices heard about this?
Well, on Balboa Park in particular, well, and Villa Montezuma, write your city council people, write the mayor, and if you feel like it, write Irwin Jacobs himself.
Okay, that's the best thing to do is just do some letter writing.
Right, and show up at meetings. There's going to be quite a few meetings that are going to be coming before the Park and Recs Board, the Balboa Park Committee, and then the City Council in July. We really need people out at those meetings, telling them what they think. So far, the meetings have been really well attended, and more than 80% of the people attending these meetings have been against this project, and they're still not listening.
Is there going to be information on the Save Our Heritage Organization website about those meetings?
There will be. And we also have a Facebook page, Plaza de Panama, that's just about this project. And, of course, we have the Save Our Heritage Organization pages, and one for Marston House and Whaley House, too.
And you can access all of that from sohosandiego.org. Bruce, it was good seeing you.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah,
nice to see you.
Great having you on the show, and I'm so glad we're able to cover all these topics.
I was hoping you'd win the presidency.
You know what? The Secretary of State in Arizona rejected my papers.
That's terrible. It sounds like Arizona.
This darn California is trying to go and mess with our processes here. Bruce, it was really, really good seeing you. Good luck with everything regarding Balboa Park and otherwise.
Well, thank you.
And we'll see
good
you next
time. Good luck to all of us.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Living Better in San Diego on the San Diego Lincoln Financial Media Stations. Many thanks again to our guest, Bruce Coons, from the Save Our Heritage Organization San Diego. And for more information on what's going on with Balboa Park, more information on the Via Montezuma and the Marston House, and also what the Save Our Heritage Organization is doing in East County at the Santa Isabel General Store and also the Warner Carrillo Ranch House, go to the Save Our Heritage Organization website at SOHOSanDiego.org. That's www.SOHOSanDiego.org. SOHOSanDiego.org. And from the Save Our Heritage Organization website, you can access all of their social media regarding Balboa Park and the Marston House. Again, that's SOHOSanDiego.org. And you can also call the Save Our Heritage Organization at 619-297-9327. That's 619-297-9327. The opinions and views expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of Lincoln Financial Media. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available in downloadable MP3 form on this station's website. Thanks again for making Living Better in San Diego a part of your Sunday morning. I'm Tommy Howe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and be well.